find him.
How's it going, dude?
Hey, man, what's up? Tell Todd he can turn the radio back on. When you grab a hold of me,
you tell me that I'll never be set free. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. And we, Jeremy and Joe, and ESPN 97.5, love to take care of you. You know, you can win a pair of tickets to the 51st Annual Fishing Show, February 18th through February 22nd, George R. Brown Convention Center, the setting. Everything for the fishermen, lures, rods, reels, boats, and continuous clinics by expert fishermen cover salt and fresh water and a kids' clinic on Saturday and Sunday. For more information, check out HoustonFishingShow.com. Giving away a pair of tickets right now to caller number 3, 713-780-3776. Caller number 3, you're headed to the George R. Brown Convention Center for the 51st Annual Fishing Show. More information, HoustonFishingShow.com if you do not win. Joe, who wrote this this giveaway? Where are you copy here?
Not me.
You didn't read this? You didn't write this?
Nope.
Okay. Who wrote it?
You want me to throw a salesperson under the bus?
Yeah.
Brenda.
Okay. Brenda's got a few typos here. Who put it in the rundown?
Brian.
Brian, you just copy and pasted without proofreading this, Brian?
I also copy and pasted in the email I sent to everyone.
So you copy and pasted it to the producers, Joe?
Yes.
So Brenda gave it to you?
Yes.
You copy and pasted it to the producers.
Yes.
And then our producer, I don't know what other shows are doing it, copy and pasted it into the giveaway section of our rundown.
Yes.
Does anybody proofread around here? Does anybody proofread copy around here?
No.
So when here's how it actually works.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you proofread it and fix it?
I proofread it, yeah. I didn't fix it because I wanted to have a confrontation about it.
Okay.
So I did proofread it. Yes, I proofread everything I do. So it starts off by saying, win a pair of tickets to the 51st Annual Fishing Show. Mm-hmm. So I got by you and by Brian. Continue reading on. Everything for the fishermen, lures, is spelled L-O-U-R-E-S.
Okay. That's incorrect, I guess.
And then it continuous is a typo. And it literally, whenever you put it in Google Docs, it has a red squiggly line underneath, knowing that it's spelled wrong.
Yeah, I see that.
So everybody just wanted to leave it in there, I guess.
Yeah.
Just trying to screw up the talent.
Just trying to see if you can think on your feet.
Well, you shouldn't have to think on your feet because you should proofread before you do a read.
Fair.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. So Josh Hader's got a little bicep tendonitis. Yiner Diaz has something with his foot. De Los Santos has something with his knee, all dealing with injuries to start spring training. It wouldn't be Astros spring training without a couple of injuries, huh, Joe?
No, it felt like it's just baseball's back. It's like, it's not, you know, what pitch are they working on or who's looking fit or who added 15 to 20 pounds of muscle this offseason without the permission of trainers. It's just who's hurt. And we got three guys already that are banged up as the season starts.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just normal. It's normal.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, this is spring training. Like, I don't expect you to come into the season and, like, everything's tabula rasa. Like, it's not going to be perfect. Look around every single team in Major League Baseball. It seems like every team has a hamate bone injury.
Yeah, there's three of them.
And they're like, the pitcher for the Braves yesterday, he got placed on the 60, or he's going to be placed on the 60-day IL. There was a Tiger pitcher that got hurt that I believe is the reason they signed Justin Verlander. Like, if that dude didn't get hurt, I don't think they would have signed Justin Verlander. So Verlander was the replacement for that guy. It's like, this is the nature of the business. Like, you're going to have a few, you know, knocks really all, at all points of the year. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to have depth. That's why it's important to have surplus at certain positions. But, you know, it's going to happen at any point of the year. It's going to happen a little bit early in the season with, you know, strains, things like that. You're getting your body in tune. These guys are finely tuned athletes. So, you know, tuning that body, sometimes it's going to have, you know, its setbacks a little bit. The De Los Santos thing, like, okay. Like, it sounds like he's going to be just fine. Like, whatever. We'll hear an update from a spotter here in a little bit. Yiner Diaz is literally in – like, he's taking BP.
Yeah.
He's literally catching Emi today. So, like, he's fine. You just can't run, which sounds like a convenient excuse to, like, hey, I can't run, guys, because this foot hurts. Yeah. I can do everything else. I can catch bullpens. I can take BP. I just can't run, guys. So, you know, maybe that's – who knows? But it sounds like he's fine. Like, it sounds like if they had to play a game today, he would play a game. The Hader thing's a little bit more problematic because he was shut down last year. Dana Brown did say today that it was the fourth bullpen. So, apparently, Dana Brown wasn't lying. Hader had been throwing off a bullpen or off a mound in his, you know, return, I guess, to Major League Baseball action. And in the fourth bullpen, he felt a little bit of tightness in his bicep. And that's whenever he decided to, like, you know, tell the Astros and they wanted to shut him down and take a look and stuff like that. And did play catch today, too. So, you know, we'll see where he lands. But here's the update from Joe Espada on his pitchers, Hader and De Los Santos.
Leading into his fourth one. During his throwing program, he stopped his throwing because arm soreness. We immediately went and got some imaging, and there was some inflammation on his bicep tendon. So he has not been throwing for, I want to say, 10, 11 days, and he will start getting back on his throwing program again today. De Los Santos yesterday, during his throwing program, his right knee felt a little bit of pain, so we went and got some imaging, and there is it's a little strain on his right knee, so he's no throw at least for a couple of days. We'll see how he progresses.
Okay, Joe. Do I want Josh Hader to not have bicep tendonitis? Yes. I'd rather him not have bicep tendonitis than have bicep tendonitis. Do I wish Eniel De Los Santos had two knees that were, you know, properly functioning? Yeah, I wish that. I'm not overly concerned about either. We'll see where it lands. Like, everything else is just guesswork. But here's why I actually have a positive spin to this. I wouldn't even call it spin. It's just a positive reaction, a positive takeaway from listening to Joe Espada talk there. We know that Jeremiah Randall's gone. We know that Dana Brown said he was going to, you know, do this whole return to play procedure that James Click started doing and then was fired and then no one else completed it. And there was just like this abyss of misinformation when it came to the Houston Astros and their injuries and all of that. So here's why I actually have a positive spin to this. One, did you hear the word discomfort used at all?
I did not.
No discomfort. Is discomfort, has it been eliminated from the Houston Astro organizational vernacular?
I hope so.
Maybe. But here's the other, like, that's kind of like whatever. That's just like language. Like, those are just words, whatever on that. But the two things that really jumped out to me, Josh Hader reported bicep soreness, arm soreness, and we immediately took imaging. Eniel De Los Santos, the other day whenever he was in his throwing program, felt something in his knee, and we took immediate imaging. So if they're being honest with their words, which you always have to be careful with the Astros, I believe action more than word, but I don't think they're lying here. I would trust them in this. And Dana Brown alluded to this last offseason, you know, with not last offseason, it was actually in season, after the Yordan debacle and the Zach DeZinzo debacle, that they were going to start imaging more. It seems to me not only are they going to start imaging more, Joe, based on what Joe Espada is telling us here, but they're also going to do it right away. The moment something flares up, they're going to go inside. They're going to take a look to see what they're dealing with, which, okay, that seems like it's normal behavior. Seems very competent to me. The old stuff was incompetent, but it is refreshing that maybe they've learned some lessons here where, hey, take the immediate MRI. Don't need an x-ray here, but take the immediate imaging, figure out what you're working with, and then, you know, deal with the problem that's in hand. I don't know why it wasn't always this way, but it is refreshing to me at least. And I know that we're going to have reservation when it comes to the Astros and injuries for a long time until, you know, they recondition us. But I did take that as a positive, Joe.
No, I think it's a good catch. When I heard the clip the first time this morning, I did not catch that one, they didn't use the word discomfort, and two, they did the imaging right away. It is refreshing, and it's a great question of why it just wasn't always like this. Of like, why would you just, you know, let Kyle Tucker walk out when he had a broken leg, essentially. And yes, you didn't know, but you also didn't do imaging right away. So how would you?
I think they did on that. I think
they did
with
Tucker.
I think they did imaging right away with Tucker, but I think the issue was one of two things. Whether, you know, maybe there's a stress fracture with it later because they didn't handle it properly. They had him running on a treadmill, or there was so much inflammation you couldn't see a break yet.
Yeah, but this is it's positive. Like it's and look, I know it doesn't really matter in the long term of things, like what we or the fans like view of what Joe Espada and Dana Brown, how they talk to the media and tell their fans about how healthy or not healthy players are. But I like transparency. I like just hearing more honest answers and not having to hear the word discomfort and actually be like, yeah, this is what's going on. Like, this is what happened. He was on his fourth bullpen session, ramping back up. He didn't feel great. We checked it out. He's 10 to 11 days behind. He's week to week at this point. Like, that's all good. Like, it's just an honest answer. So now we have less questions. You know, we don't know the exact answers, but we have less questions now than we would have in past years. So
yeah.
I hope this is just a sign of things to come. The next step for me is when they're asked about Blanco and Wesneski, don't put a timeline on it.
Yeah.
Don't tell me August and they pitch in 2027.
It's interesting you said that because he was asked, Dana Brown, I think they were both asked actually. I remember Dana Brown's answer. I think Espada's was roughly the same, where they were asking, like, hey, what does this mean for opening day for Hader? And both of them said, like, we're not putting a timeline on this. So good. I think it's a great point, too. I didn't really pick up that, but that's also an excellent observation. I'm with you. They shouldn't put timelines on it. Whenever they're ready, they're ready. And putting timeline, this is something that I actually like that Nick Casario does. He's talked about this. He says putting timelines on things creates this expectation. And why would you put that on the player? Like, that's not fair to the player. Like, now they have this one minute setback, and then it's like, hey, they're not back at the exact time that you said, and now the player starts to catch some ire from the fan base. So I'm with you. I think timelines from manager, GM, coach is dumb. Like, you shouldn't put the timeline on the player. When they're back, they're back. And you'll know when they're back because they're back. Yeah. We're not going to do this whole, oh, he's going to be back for opening day. Because what if he feels tightness in his bicep again? And then he's like, well, you know, they said opening day, I'm going to really press. And then all of a sudden he needs a UCL and a Tommy John. So I think it's a great point. And maybe there's a little bit more. I don't need the transparency. I know the fan base wants it. I think you've said you've wanted it. Like, hey, give us the honest truth. Like, I don't think they owe that to us. Their best interest is looking out for the team, the player, how they can win ball games. All of that stuff. So I don't think that they owe us transparency, but it did sound like they were being a little more transparent than they had been in the past. So we'll see how it goes the whole year. But just something that – just a positive spin on it. Like, I don't want Hader to have bicep tendonitis, but, you know, just something I took away from it.
I mean, and Hader himself said when he met with the media, like, it's – for him, it's nothing too concerning. So, like, that's a positive, too. Where,
yeah.
Like, yes, players can say that, not really mean it, but, like, kind of – looking at, like, his body language as he's talking, like, it feels generally not concerned is the expression that he's giving up when he's talking about this injury. So, yeah, he might not be ready for opening day, but it doesn't mean he's going to be out for 4 months either, it feels like. So the Buster-only thing, it's just he was kind of a step ahead of when the Astros were going to meet with the media for the first time. And so it came off more concerning than it actually probably was, just because we didn't hear from anyone in Florida that that's what was going on.
And of all the players, too, like, maybe I'm just completely off base here. Like, I trust Hader. Like, Hader in the past, when he's talked about his injuries, like, seems authentic and, like, it feels like he's telling us the truth. I don't think we've caught him in a lie or a mistruth. Like, last year, he was openly talking about his injury, which he was like, hey, you know, like, regular season's donezo, maybe in the playoffs. So I felt like he was being very honest there. People have talked about, like, how in tune with his body he is. So I do trust Hader here, and Hader's like, yeah, I'm not overly concerned about it. He was asked about opening day. He's like, I'm not sure. Also, I think we overrate opening day.
I agree.
Like, I understand that we're all waiting for baseball, and we all love baseball, and I get it. Like, it's almost here, and like, yay, it's opening day. Boom, all the pomp and circumstance. You know what's also true, though? It is one of 162. Mm-hmm. It is one of 162 of all the professional sports, of any sport, opening day is less meaningful than all of them. Maybe not in terms of pomp and circumstance and entertainment and excitement and all of that, but in terms of it being one of how many games that team plays in the regular season, is there anything more insignificant than baseball's opening day in the grand scheme of things?
No.
So I don't care if Hader's back on opening day. You know what I care for? I care that Hader's 100%.
Yeah, I mean, even like if he came back for like, let's say he couldn't come back till the Mariners series. Like your first three series of the year are against, your first four series of the year are against the Angels, the Red Sox, the Athletics, and the Rockies. So it's like besides the Red Sox, you're playing three non-playoff teams to start the year too. So even if you were thinking like every game is consequential to your season, like tiebreakers and things like that that you have to factor out throughout the year, it's not even a concern. It's only the Red Sox series that's even probably relevant to the long-term future of the Astros season. So, like, if you can have him back for the Mariners series on April 10th, cool.
See, I don't even care about that.
Oh, I know, but, like, it's, like, it's just, like, it's inconsequential because you expect to crush most of those teams anyways as you're currently constructed if Brian Abreu is your closer.
It's baseball.
I know it's baseball. It's
not, you don't really crush anybody. And, like, I think that's a good sidebar point that you brought up. Like, I hadn't thought about that. I personally don't care. But, yeah, those series matter more because, you know, you don't have game 163 anymore. It's all about the tiebreaker. And, you know, the Astros fell victim to that last year. Mm-hmm. Junkie, arguments between Branham and Joe, so hilarious. Branham just hammers Joe and he just takes it. Branham and JB, World War III. LM.
We owe each other to fight each other to elevate our life.
That's right. We owe it to each other to fight each other to elevate our lives. 713-780-3776. Get your Astro takes. Also, I love it when football leatherheads have terrible baseball takes. And I got one for you on the other side, Joe. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Attention, Texas hockey fans. We are headed out to McIntyre's in Webster tomorrow. We'll be doing our show there from 3 to 6. And we are being joined by Flight by Yuengling, proud partner of the Dallas Stars. We'll be watching Team USA play their first hockey game here in the Olympics. Game starts at 2 o'clock. McIntyre's is opening early. Normally, they open up at 4 o'clock. So, we'll be there at 3. You can come out and hang out with us. So, don't worry if you Google it and it says closed until 4. Don't worry about that. They're going to be open and hanging out with us tomorrow during the day. And while you're there, you can register a chance to win a flyaway trip to see the Stars take on the Philadelphia Flyers March 29th. Plus, they'll have exclusive Flight by Yuengling Dallas Stars gear. The trip includes two tickets, airfare, and a hotel. You must be 21 or older to enter. But this is your chance to get a flyaway trip to go see the Dallas Stars take on the Philadelphia Flyers March 29th. Flights, airfare, hotel, all included. Join us tomorrow at McIntyre's in Webster from 3 to 6 to hang out with us and Yuengling.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Full disclosure, peek behind the curtain, I'm not in studio today. What are you looking at me for, Colt? I saw you, I put up the camera though, Joe, and Joe, you put your hands up in the air like this, like palms to the sky. Like, what's going on? What's happening over there?
We'll find out right now.
All right, what's up?
I'm waiting for you.
What do you mean?
We'll see.
That's not why you put your hands up in the air.
It might be.
You're being shady and coy.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No,
what do you mean you're not? You won't tell me what the intention of that gesture was. That's being coy.
I'm waiting to see how you proceed in the segment.
Oh, okay. Might have to wait a few minutes. Colton, your hair is phenomenal, by the way. Look at that. Look at that thick lettuce.
I'm very jealous.
Look, if Colton were a mid-90s baseball player, he'd be Vinny Castilla.
That's a good call.
That is some thick lettuce. Like, I would hate to hit my drive off the fairway into Colton's lettuce. That is impressive. Brian has the same, but they're gray.
So you won't be surprised, but as soon as you mentioned Vinny Castilla, Colton's response was, I don't know who that is.
Oh, Colton, out of here. See you later. You don't know who Vinny Castilla is? You can't work on this show. Eject your own self. Hit the dub button, Colton, and throw yourself
you
out. There you go. Colton had to hit the dump of ejecting himself because he doesn't know who Vinny Castilla is. How embarrassing is that? He is also like, what, 18?
He's graduated from Anna, so he's older than that.
I got into a conversation over the weekend with somebody who is like arguing LeBron's better than Jordan, which I hate these arguments. I always try to avoid them. And they're like, you could turn on any college basketball game, and they're doing things that Michael Jordan did.
Wait. Was this person a rando or like someone that's like a media member?
It was not a media member.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can turn on any college game, and they're doing things that Michael Jordan could never dream of doing. It's like, oh, my goodness.
That's
blasphemy.
That's a crazy take.
You know, and there's like I don't like arguing with ignorant. I know it sounds like a contradiction because I argue with ignorant every day. No, I'm not talking about you, Joe, or Brian. Mostly the Twitchers. Actually, not even the Twitchers. It's mostly people on Twitter, quite frankly. Twitchers are just trolls, and they're funny to me. But, Jordan was playing against plumbers. It's like, he didn't really say that, but that's kind of like the what it came across as.
Yeah, that's what they're referencing, essentially, is that he played against nobodies.
Yeah.
when you look, I don't get it. Like, I know there's an age gap here, but this isn't like Wilt, where like there's not a lot of great clear footage of games. Like, you can watch everything Michael Jordan ever did on YouTube. It's all readily available.
Like, you could go see Wilt touch like the top of the backboard.
Run
up and down the floor. Like, you can tell that he was an unbelievable athlete. Like, was he playing against the best competition? I think they get a bad rap. Like, Bill Russell was playing at that time. Like, there was tons of Hall of Fame centers that were playing at that time, and there wasn't that many teams. People forget about that. They're like, oh, well, there were so many players in the league, there weren't any good. Well, there's only eight teams.
Yeah.
So, like, the teams were pretty good. Like, go look at the teams then and look at their centers. Like, there was quite a few Hall of Fame centers.
I wonder, like, when these people have, like, the arguments about the older times, like, do you think they ever have these conversations, like, with, like, their dads? And their dads are just, like, disappointed in their children?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Because, like, that's one thing you have to educate your kids a little bit here of, like, what happened when you were watching sports.
Yeah, I definitely think it's generational, but, it was crazy. Junkie says that Tony Danza in studio. It does kind of look Danza-esque. Like, the hair does look a little Tony Danza.
I can see it.
You know who Tony Danza is, Colton? If he doesn't know who Vinny Castilla is, he has no idea who Tony Danza is. He's shaking his head no. For all your radio, this is a radio medium, Colton. You shaking your head doesn't do anything. But we can describe it for you. Colton from left to right is shaking his head no as he grins across his face and unbeknownst to Tony Danza. No, too late, Tony. Too late, Colton. You missed your opportunity.
Especially like Angels in the Outfield.
Oh, yeah.
Like Tony Danza.
Have you seen Angels in the Outfield, Colton? Searching for the button with his left hand, potting his volume up higher. There he,
okay.
Yes. There we go. I forgot what Colton sounded like.
Voice is back.
There we go. I love it. That was a pleasant surprise. 713-780 ESPN. The guy you talk to is right. J-Bone, college basketball players are wagering on ball just like Jordan did. Some, not all.
But some, yes.
I get we don't have a team and it is a sponsored event, but pushing a Dallas team gear feels very wrong. Fantastic supporting a Dallas pro team. Great work, guys. It's hockey. There's no Houston NHL team. Relax. You'll be fine. And everybody's got a price for the $1 million man.
Plus, we'll get a team eventually.
Hopefully. Bicep, triceps, and trap tendonitis is common when rehabbing a shoulder. Again, team doctor or physical therapist fell over on Crawford. Is it a fail, though? Like,
no.
Do you expect them to never throw again?
Yeah,
like, what do you mean? What are they supposed to do?
Yeah, it flared up. Like, it's how can you prevent it?
Yeah.
Just keep waiting and waiting and waiting and have him pitch next year?
And then they immediately told him not to throw for a few days to see if it goes away. And if it happens again, then they'll handle it. I don't know how that's a fail. You're reaching there. You're reaching there, Junkie. That's a reach.
It is. It's big time. Like, players have tweaks when they come back. It's about when they have that tweak, how do you respond? This feels like a better response than the Astros have had in the past.
Mm-hmm. Somebody signed Branham up for a microaggressions webinar. You buy, I fly. I'll take you up on that. No problem. I ain't paying for it. You can pay for it, though. All right, 713-780-3776. Your Astros spring training thoughts and a football point of view on baseball takes. Always a very dangerous line. to try to walk. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. First, a moment on HRP, Human Resources and Payroll. I have to say this as kind of a, you know, as a warning in a way, kind of a for a little bit of a heads up of what's coming up next. But it's Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs, used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he's protecting your businesses. Business owners, let HRP help you. They can help you in HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. They can help in all of those areas. One of those areas, they got you. No boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job. HRP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business need. You're a little problem, little issue, big issue. Want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate in 2026? Well, HRP is going to find a way to help. You're not reading off a menu either. They're going to tailor a plan for what is in the best interest of business, what is good for business, and they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service, best technology in the game. You're going to love it. But that service, top notch, guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone knows you, knows your business needs. I'm thankful we'll use HRP here at Gal. So give them a call, 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out on the World Wide Web at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
It's a banger right here. All right, so this is it's always dangerous territory this time of year, Joe, because you have these dudes who are like in football mindset,
yeah,
who are like trying to transition over to like baseball mindset, and you see some stupid stuff. And you know that I like to be the gatekeeper of stupidity. I feel like it is my civic duty to be the gatekeeper of stupidity in our fine city. The Baytown Batty, who's never been known for his baseball knowledge, let's call it like it is. Love the guy, not a baseball savant. And look, maybe he'll headline, you know, the WrestleMania someday. The Baytown Batty, the Huntington Bank bad boy for all the marbles. But sometimes leatherheads probably shouldn't talk baseball.
Uh-huh.
So there's the Astros this year. It is very clear that they're like trying to take care of the players. They want their guys to, you know, be healthy. They're very worried about like getting through the regular season, right? Like they want to run the marathon, get to the postseason, and have their guys fresh in the postseason. Why do they want that? Because it's really the optimal thing to do. But also they're just coming off a season in which Yordan Alvarez missed 100 games, over 100 games. Jeremy Pena had a stint on the IL and then couldn't finish the season. Carlos Correa was fine once he got here, but Carlos Correa has had a history of injury. Jose Altuve's in his mid-30s with a history of injury. Christian Walker is in his mid-30s. Isak Paredes is coming off a season which he hurt his hamstring twice, and the second time, I thought it was a hot turkey leg that was melting off the bone. They said it should have required surgery, but he didn't want to have it, and he's still playing with that hamstring that needed surgery and elected not to have it. And look, I mean, how do you give yourself the best chance to make a deep playoff run? By being healthy when the postseason comes around. So the Astros have been delivering this message all offseason for anybody that wants to hear it. Some people don't want to hear it and they don't talk about it, but they've been very consistent in that message, both Joe Espada, both Dana Brown, that they want to make sure that they are giving their players plenty of rest. They're looking at it from a 162-game perspective, that it's a very long season, that they want to keep their guys healthy and fresh. So Joe Espada said that again today. He's like, you're going to do things slightly different in spring training. We're going to be very, you know, precise with our time. We're going to be efficient with our time, effective with our time. Well, we're going to get in, we're going to do our work, and we're going to get off the field, and we're going to get off our feet. Okay, like it's spring training, bro. Like there's 6 weeks. Like, and then on top of that, after the 6 weeks of spring training are done, you're playing a 162-game season. So I, for one, have no problem with this philosophy of protecting your players, spring training. Hey, get your work in, but do it quickly. and then, you know, go to La Playa, hit the casa, and get off your feet, right? So the Baytown Batty, Lord love him, he tweeted, quote tweeted this. The quote, getting guys off their feet and off the field emphasis irks the bad word out of me. Go to work, be efficient, grind, get better, put in extra time, get extra reps, stop with this soft, bad word approach to work. Okay. Like, and for the young players, okay, fine. Like, I can see a little bit. Like, if you're Cam Smith, should you be getting in some extra work? Okay, fine, I hear you. Cam Smith also might have hit a wall in the midpoint of last summer. Zach Cole, like, okay, get in your work. I get it. But does Jose Altuve need the grind, get better, put in extra time, get in extra reps? No, he's the last guy that needs that. Do you want Yordan Alvarez, like, taking 500 cuts a day with that puny hand? Of course you don't want that. This is a veteran approach. Like, the whole mentality of, like, we had 16, 17 games in the regular season, and we got to bang our heads into the wall and swarm. That's football, brother. That's a sprint. That is not the case in baseball, where you play 162 games. You're still 7 weeks away from opening day and the start of that 162-game crusade. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Take a breath.
Yeah, I don't really get it, because I would guess, if we cared enough to, you know, listen and go back through old takes, that there's complaining about the Astros' health all the time. Like they're doing what's in the best interest of the players here. I also think it's like cherry picking a little bit of, like, just focusing on get off their feet kind of a that quote, where it's they're just not going to go like 110% all the time. It doesn't mean they're not putting in extra work.
No.
They're just doing things differently. Like, it's very much taking what is said very literally, and it means that the players are not going to be there. I mean, have you watched baseball ever?
Yeah.
Do you watch the NFL, where, like, every single preseason game, instead of players being out there getting the best reps and the best opportunity to improve themselves, they don't play in preseason? No. Did C.J. Stroud play in the Hall of Fame game when they played the Bears his rookie year or his second year? Nope, he did not. Why? He should have been out there getting reps. Instead, he's being soft, apparently. Same thing here. Like, they don't play in spring training. It's the way it's been done. If they start slow, this approach is not going to be the reason they start slow. It just means they're starting slow. It's baseball. It's 162. Relax. Like, it's... they're going to be okay. And with all the injuries they had last year, isn't this the approach they should take? You should
exactly.
want them to take? Like, I don't understand, like, why, like, when a team misses the playoffs last year because Yordan Alvarez is never out there, because you laid out all the injuries that have happened, why? But I guess Josh Hader, with this biceps, you know, strain here, should just be pushing through it, Jeremy. That way he can be out for the entire season instead of be out there, you know. But he got his spring training work in. You know, that's what matters most. Get that spring training work in. Not be out there for when you're trying to win a World Series this year.
The Astros season last year was decimated by injury. So let's take that information of the Astros season being decimated by injury, and let's do things that make them more prone to injury.
Yeah, that's what he wants. Make him more prone to injury, Jeremy. Don't be soft.
Like, is this me being, like, dumb here? Or is this just like, hey, yeah, the Astros are coming off one of the most injury-riddled seasons in franchise history. I have an idea. Let's ride them even harder.
Yes, like –
like, is it really – like, is it that nuts and bolts for me? Like, am I – like, is it really as dumb as I think it is?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to be sure.
It's stupid. Like, this is what – like, I know, like, football, you know, to help them out here. This is probably how the San Francisco 49ers should approach their next training camp, making sure, like, the football team that's the most injured in the NFL probably could have been a Super Bowl to this team if they had half their defense out there or their offensive players out there, might have helped them.
They should play every snap of the preseason and every snap
they
of training
should.
Camp.
Yep. I look forward to the C.J. Stroud not playing every single snap of three preseason games, having the exact same take. Because that's my thing with, like, this stuff is, like, you got to always have – you can't contradict yourself. Like, it does, just because it's baseball and football is more physical.
Yeah,
you get hit.
No one's arguing that.
But they're not throwing 100.
No, like, it's much different. It's the grind. Like, the grind of baseball isn't because you're having these mini car wrecks every single time you play an opponent. The grind of baseball is that you're playing 162 games and travel, and you have all these like nagging injuries, and your joints are, you know, whatever. Like, we understand that the. And I'll be the first one to admit it. Like, baseball is not nearly as strenuous as football. but it's the every single day, which the every single day in the marathon of the season is why you want to get your guys off their feet 7 weeks before the start of the season. Junkie, if a major league player needs extra work, he's probably on the bubble to be sent down. That's valid. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Junkie, look, we got 9 months to talk Astros, fellas. Good. February 11th. We're here, baby. First day of pitchers and catchers reporting. What else do you want us to talk about? Junkie, Sport Highway to Hell has their baseball savant, the guy that worked at 97.5 and didn't know what pop time was when telling everyone Yiner is a bona fide all-star. I mean, I have a guess on who that is, but he said that?
PC?
I don't know who he's referring to. Maybe that is who he's referring to. Okay, that makes more sense. Although, PC knows what pop time is. That's what I thought, Brian.
Maybe.
That's what I thought. I don't know why he would tell everybody that Yiner was a bona fide all-star, though.
That's the part I was confused by.
Yeah. I mean, I like Yiner's bat. I think Yiner has a chance to be a top-five offensive catcher in baseball. Bona fide all-star is a bit reachy. And he's a terrible defensive catcher. He's Latino Evan Gattis. It's not the years. It's the mileage. Baseball players get the mileage. Yeah, that's fine. I have nothing wrong with that. That's a fine way to put that. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, 713-780-3776. I thought I had something else to say.
I don't know. Do you?
Maybe not. Maybe that's it.
I feel like you covered all of it with this. I don't know what you'd be missing.
Yeah, I think I did. All right, 713-780-3776. Hunter Brown, named the opening day starter. Any surprise that they did it on day one of pitchers and catchers? And what should the rotation be after Hunter Brown? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2. Stupid takes. Makes me want to go out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston so I can leave all those stupid takes behind me. Escape the rat race. Escape stupidity. Escape the hustle and bustle of the job. Escape stress and anxiety. Whatever. And get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. The great outdoors, the way they were meant to be enjoyed. Relaxing, beautiful out there. You're going to love your time, so go ahead and book that stay right now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. It's still a little bit of time, to take advantage of that 40-20 discount. 40% off your stays, 20% off RV stays through February. Those RV stays, too, the perfect hookup spots if you already got one. They have a treehouse out there that's awesome. Kids loved it when we went out there. It's like you're staying in a tree. You go up the steps. The house is in the middle of the tree. The tree runs through the house. It's awesome. Kids love it. They got cabins out there as well. Glamping, which is really what the kids love these days. Everybody loves glamping, though. You're going to love your time out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They got open green spaces for you. The wildlife you don't see in the city. Beautiful. Beautiful mature trees and some of the best fishing in Texas, too. Two creeks alongside their property, catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You're going to love your time out there. And it's only 90 minutes from Houston, so you can escape the city without going too far. You listen to half of our show and you're there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're there in an hour and a half. You're going to be hiking their 92 acres of property in no time. Kayaking their water in no time. They have pickleball courts out there for you if pickleball is your jam. Or just go to Swampers and have a cold one. Book your stay right now, TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. They're always taking care of their visitors. This weekend they have Valentine's Day weekend, Mardi Gras gumbo cook-off coming up next weekend, and then the final weekend of February, their Western Roundup weekend. So much fun to be had out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. So book that stay now, TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Just shoot for the stars if it feels right. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
So Hunter Brown's been named the starting pitcher for the Houston Astros on opening day, which, of course, like who else was going to contend with him for that? Are you surprised they did it day one?
I mean, a little bit. It feels untraditional, right? It was so clear and obvious.
Yeah.
You could have really done it any day throughout the entire spring training, but it is not typically what we see of teams. Now, in the past, like you had JV and Fromber or Fromber and Hunter, so like maybe there was some internal discussion of who was going to be, or even when you had Keuchel and JV. You know, of like, you know, who was actually going to get the ball on day one, veteran of the team versus still kind of the new guy. But this one was so clear and obvious that it's, again, there's no surprise. But yeah, I didn't think that we were going to get that announcement today, yeah, of all things.
I think Espada just likes his theater. I think he just likes to, you know, sometimes have a little bit of a show, you know, like, you know, he likes to have a meaning. He likes to have a message, you know. I think that's what he was going for here. He's like, you know, we're going to do it because he's our guy, which, okay, fine, whatever. But the question now is, what is the rest of the rotation? I think that we're all clear that they're going to go six-man to start the year.
Yes.
Can we all agree to that? A lot of games early. Emi, like, he's used to pitching every 6 day because that's what they do in the Nippon League out there in Japan. So what is the – and look, they start on the 26th, March 26th. We'll be here before they know it. They don't have many off days early in the year. So what's the rest of the rotation look like for you?
So Javier, Emi, Burrows.
Interesting.
I guess Arrighetti for sure.
You say for sure.
Well,
I had somebody yesterday tweet at me that you have, because I did my roster projection on my Twitter at Jeremy Branham. I like to nerd it up every now and then, and I had Arrighetti in my thing and not Jason Alexander, and the guy came at me. He's like, "Why not Jason Alexander?" And everybody knows me; they know I love Alexander. And he's like, "Well, Jason Alexander's done more than Spencer Arrighetti's done in his career." And then I hit him back with a Spencer Arrighetti's pitched in more games than Jason Alexander, has thrown more innings in the bigs than Jason Alexander, and has a lower career ERA than Jason Alexander. And then they didn't respond.
I mean, I get why people really like Jason Alexander. I struggle to think that it's that he can replicate last year.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if I see it. He can go out there, be in your rotation for 162. And you talked about how he has options.
Yeah.
So you don't have to put him in the big league roster right away. So Javier, Emi, Burrows.
You had Arrighetti.
Arrighetti. And then, I think it really just comes down to, is McCullers going to be on this roster or not?
Well, that's a prediction you're making, Joe. You can't give me a soft answer like that.
And I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think I get on to you for giving a soft answer, but I do think it's a coin flip for what it's worth. I don't think he's going to be on this roster, whether he gets hurt in spring training, which that's just playing the odds right, or his stuff isn't there, which his stuff wasn't there last year, and he's just so ineffective, and they're like, okay, man, we just can't afford to do this. We missed the playoffs last year by a game. We can't afford to give Lance McCullers 4 or 5 starts because he's going to get lit up. So we'll see. It's very difficult to obviously answer this today. First day of pitchers and catchers reporting with very little info and intel and data. I hope Lance McCullers shows up and, you know, in 3 weeks he's throwing mid-90s and he's got his 3,000 RPM slider, you know? His curveball's back. I would love that. I don't think it's very realistic. I'll nitpick you on the number two starter. Okay. Not that it really matters. I don't care. I don't people put all this conversation. Well, who's your number two starter? Who cares? They're both pitching every 5th day or every 6th day.
Sure.
They're both going to start equal amount of games if they're both healthy. So we put way too much stock in where they are on the rung of the Astros rotation ladder. But I think they're going to start Emi ahead of Javier.
Okay.
Total guess. But I went Brown, Emi, Javier, Burrows. I think we're kind of sleeping on Arrighetti. People were pretty excited about Spencer Arrighetti going into next season.
Yeah.
Or going into the season last season at this time a year ago.
He had a freak injury.
But even prior to that, his rookie year, he showed flashes, 4.53 ERA, okay, that's not spectacular. But he had 171 strikeouts in 145 innings, and he had one of those months, I can't remember if it was July or August, where he had a sub-3.25 ERA in 4 or 5 starts. This guy's starting to show it, and he did that as a rookie. He showed those flashes as a rookie. And then last year you mentioned the freak injury, kind of took forever, gets back, then he feels elbow tightness, they shut him down for the rest of the year. He pitched 35 innings last year. So I think Arrighetti still has a shot to be pretty good. I don't think he's an ace. I don't think he's a top of the rotation starter, but can he be a solid number three? I think he has the potential to do that. So I'm pretty excited about Arrighetti. I think it's awesome that you have him as your number five starter. And then I'm with you. The debate about who the sixth starter is going to be, it's not really a debate. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a camp battle. But you got Ryan Weiss, who they brought over from the Korean League.
Mm-hmm.
You like you have Lance McCullers. You have the incumbent. Will he be healthy? We'll see. What is Nate Pearson? What is K-Way? What is he? What is AJ Blueball? Mm-hmm. Like, are they going to give them a legitimate shot to fight for the sixth job? If you want to throw Jason Alexander into the mix, okay. You can throw him into the mix if you want to as well. My guess as of right now on February 11th, before seeing any of these guys pitch even in a spring training game, I'm going to go Ryan Weiss.
So if I go not McCullers, I'm going to go Blueball.
Okay.
I think his role throughout the season, like, I think he can work well in long relief for you as well. I wonder if the six-man rotation – I'm curious how you think they'll handle Hunter Brown. Because some of these pitchers –
he's going to be their ace.
Like, these elite pitchers, when you go into the six-man rotation, sometimes they're a little unhappy. Like, we saw this with JV, right, a couple years ago, where they went into the six-man rotation a little bit, and maybe even Fromber as well, they did this, where they would then – they would skip someone's start mm-hmm. and let that guy still pitch every fifth day, keep them yeah. on their schedule. So who has the most flexibility to move from the six-man in your rotation to then into the bullpen and maybe skip a start or two? I kind of view Blueball as that guy.
Yeah.
That he can be used as a starter and both a bullpen arm. I think Weiss can probably do the same thing for you, and we haven't seen him before. So I'm kind of betting on the young guy to do it. But Blueball would be my answer if it's not McCullers.
See, right, I think now they're going to view Blueball too much as a bullpen weapon to have him as your sixth starter and kind of bounce back and forth. I think they're going to view him that his importance in the bullpen as a regular – is going to be more valuable than, like, you know, that six starter that's bouncing back and forth.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be in the bullpen.
Now, Nate Pearson's another guy who's pitched out of the bullpen. So, like,
he might even make the team, you know? Like, there's going to be some good pitchers, if they stay healthy, that either are DFA'd or sent to Sugarland.
Look, it was a really small sample size last year when I watched him. Didn't like it, so.
Yeah, I think Pearson. That's just a flyer, like, maybe he's your long guy out of the bullpen, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 9 ERA last year. Like, I don't know. Like, he immediately was a guy that, like, last year I was like, I don't want this guy in the Cubs, like, when he was pitching for them. So I have – now, he was good when they got him in 24. Like, he was electric, actually, for them. He was way better than he was in Toronto. But if you look at his ERA, his last 2 years in Toronto, it was a 5.63. Then when he went to the Cubs, the rest of 24, it was a 2.73, which is obviously incredible. And then last year it was a 9-2. So I just don't view him as – I don't think he's a guy on the roster, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, I had him on my opening day projection as of now.
Mm-hmm.
I have him as my last reliever. And mostly because I think he can give you length and be kind of your long guy, your mop-up guy. But I also have Lance McCullers and Josh Hader starting the season on the IL. So – like, if one of those guys is healthy, then that's your guy that it bumps out.
Yeah,
bump
that's
out
true.
Pearson. So, I'm not very strong on the Pearson's going to make this team. Well, I currently have him in, but, you know, McCullers, Hader, make the team. He's the odd man out. And then I have the Munoz, who they got in the Rule 5. I have him off the team right now. Maybe he just pitches better, and he's your last pitcher. Jade Murray, they like, who looked pretty good in small sample last year. So, we shall see.
I do wonder, too, if Hader's start on the IL – because of Pearson, I mean, because of Alexander's options, I wonder if that plays a factor into him being the sixth guy in the rotation to start the season.
See, I think it actually increases the chances that he starts the season in Sugarland because you can keep a guy on the roster that doesn't have options. Like, Munoz is either on this team or you have to give him back to Cincinnati.
Yeah. Do you think they go six? Like, how long do you think they go six man for?
See, I think they stick to it for a while. Like if they're believing in keeping everybody fresh and keeping everybody away from injury, I'm fine using a six-man rotation until, like, the calendar dictates that you cannot.
I wonder,
especially early in the year.
Yeah, I wonder if we're just going to see and look, who knows? Maybe the Astros could be that team. I wonder if we're going to see a team at some point in the near future just say, "Hey, we're going six-man for 162."
Like,
we're just changing the way the game's played.
I'm not opposed to it. I would want that six starter to be a little bit like a flex, like you mentioned. Like, if there's like, you can't have Hunter Brown go a week without pitching. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain parts of the calendar where you can't be going on 6 days rest, right? Like, so if they wanted to use that where Hunter Brown, he's pitching on every sixth day, like, not even every fifth day. He's pitching every sixth day. Okay, he's pitching on every sixth day because he's Hunter Brown and he's your ace. So he's pitching every sixth day. which isn't every fifth day. That's every 6 days. That's telling you six-man rotation. But you have an off day or two in that stretch of time where then you bump that six guy into the bullpen for like a start. You know what I mean? So I like the hybrid six-man a little bit more than a straight six-man, sure, just because I don't want Hunter Brown going more than 6 days without pitching in a game.
No, I think that makes total sense. Like, I just – it feels like we're headed down the path that someone's going to say, yep, it'd be nice to not have Hunter Brown miss an entire week of baseball, but yeah, we're just going to go six-man rotation for the best of these teams. Now, it does hurt your bullpen potentially, yes, a little bit.
Which is why you need some long guys.
Yeah, even with the flexibility of having one or two guys in your rotation that can be long guys, it can damage your bullpen
for sure
pretty quickly, and not having Hader could also factor into that decision as well. Probably not.
Yeah, Hader's, I mean, he's a one-inning guy.
And now with this injury, I think it's definitely a one-inning guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here for the, why didn't he come in the eighth, the conversation this year. That. Starting with an injury like this, he can just have the ninth. It's okay.
713-780-ESPN. Junkie said earlier in the show, I prefer the show and Jeremy ain't in it. Well, you get what you want. I'm out of here. The boys will take you the rest of the way with a will of bit. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be great. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe featuring Brian on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Since 1976, D&M Leasing has been in business with one mission: make getting a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission hasn't changed. The only reason is that they're still here. They're just growing. They're trying to help you out. They're trying to make sure you don't have negative equity, that you're not wasting your weekends at the dealership. If they're tired of paying too much for too little, D&M is here to help you. And you're going to be working with people that have been there for 10 to 20 years. So if you've never leased a vehicle before, they will help you from start to finish because they know how to save you money, protect you from depreciation, and design a lease around your life. So if your payments are too high, or you're just stuck in that negative equity, or you just want a smarter way to upgrade, call D&M Leasing at 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com. You can get no payments for the next 60 days when you call 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com today and tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.